Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airways of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to your boy, yours truly. And boy, what a game it was last night. I know we got Indiana and Oregon going at it tonight. Two Big Ten teams going at it with a chance, a berth to the national title game on the line. Indiana, the best team in football, in college football, the number one ranked team in the nation. Oregon, a top five team, no doubt. I get it. I understand it. But last night, between Miami and Ole Miss, what a game. What a game. You walked away with a lot of feelings, for example. You walked away thinking about Carson Beck and how this cat transferred from Georgia, and suddenly you remembered that his record as a starter in college football, first at Georgia, and then obviously now at Miami, is 37-5. Suddenly you remembered that, because this is what Carson Beck brought to the table. Game-winning touchdown, scampering a few yards, the whole entire left side of the football field was wide open for him to scamper through and run into the end zone, because Ole Miss, with all the great things that they did on the evening, forgot to spy the opposing quarterback and instead was guarding all the potential receivers to catch a pass from him. They just left the whole entire left side of the field wide open for Carson Beck to run through, and that's exactly what he did. But they still had an opportunity to win the game, and then all of a sudden, you know what, they traveled about 40 yards in 13 seconds, and then Chambliss started to throw what can only be labeled a Hail Mary, because it's the last play of the game, of course, okay, and you're throwing it up there, even though it was a ball in play. A lot of people of the mindset that was pass interference. That was pass interference. It absolutely should have been called, all right, because receiver DeZorn Stripling's hands, you know, I mean, he was right there, what have you, and replay shows Miami defensive back Ethan O'Connor grabbing Stripling's jersey. My attitude is it was too much contact. It was too much contact by both of them to call a pass interference on that play in that moment. Then it becomes about the officiating and not about the kids on the field, and we didn't want that to happen. I know a lot of people for Ole Miss may feel otherwise. I heard my man Lewis Riddick, football analyst extraordinaire for ESPN, making the same statement, talking about you have to make that call. No, the hell you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to make that call. And they didn't make that call. And it was the right thing not to make that call, because you saw Stripling's hand and his arm extended trying to fend off O'Connor, just like O'Connor had his hands on Stripling and he was trying to fend him off, because, again, it's the last play of the game. All hands on deck. You know that sound of stuff is going to happen. You know there's going to be contact, unless you literally grabbed him and mugged him and threw him to the ground or whatever. You don't make that call in that particular situation. I have no problem with the no call by the officials whatsoever. I'm not saying it wasn't pass interference, that it couldn't have been called pass interference, but you could easily make a legitimate argument that both of them were fending one another off, both of them were extending their arms and grabbing one another, and both of them were engaging in contact, okay? According to ESPN's officiating analyst Bill LaMagniere, he said the decision was correct, citing quote-unquote mutual combat between the two players and noting that neither gained a clear advantage. I completely 1,000% agree with that assessment. Completely 1,000%. But I want to make sure that in saying that, I take nothing away from Ole Miss. Trinidad Chambliss showed me a lot. The way that he played, the way that he refused to go away. Remember, Ole Miss had the lead with 2 minutes left. They had the lead. Miami had to drive downfield and score. And when Beck scampered in for the touchdown, that put him up 31-27. Okay, so I'm just looking at it from all of that standpoint, and I'm just saying I give credit where credit is due. Miami, here's what we got to pay attention to. 41 minutes and 22 seconds, time of possession. 41 minutes and 22 seconds, time of possession. Okay? You're talking about Carson Beck becoming the third player in college football player of history with a TD pass and a rush TD in the fourth quarter of a game. All right? Remember, Cam Scatterboo did it in last year's Peach Bowl, and Kyler Murray did it in 2018 in the Orange Bowl. Over the last seven games, which Miami has won, they're on a seven-game winning streak. Carson Beck's had 15 touchdowns, two interceptions. Last night, Miami had a 459 total yards to Ole Miss's 398. They converted 11 of their 19 third downs. That's a 58% percentage rate, whereas Ole Miss only converted 2 of 10. And Ole Miss's time of possession was only 18 minutes and 38 seconds, but they still had the lead, and they were still 2 minutes away from advancing to the national title game. Give credit where credit is due. Miami had 10 penalties for 74 yards. You know, a couple of holding penalties and what have you. They put themselves in a position where they could have easily lost this game. But give credit, again, to several players. Running back, All-ACC, 13 running back, Mark Fletcher, 133 yards, averaging 6 yards a carry. He's rushed for 395 yards and has been averaging 6.8 yards per carry in the three college football playoff games. He's really stepped up. He's averaging 131.7 rush yards per game this postseason. How about wide receiver Keelan Marion? 7 catches for 114 yards, 16.3 yards of reception. And oh, by the way, 3 key catches in that last drive to ultimately put Miami in position to win this game. How about giving that kind of love and that kind of respect where it's due? Because the brother showed up. Malachi Toney, don't get me started with him. That's the best. That brother is the, it looked like the best player on Miami. He's 18 years old. He should still be in high school in some people's eyes. Brother special. And that screen pass that Beck threw to him, and he scampered into the end zone, the quickness, the agility, the strength, Tony's special. And you're going to need him in the national championship game to beat Indiana or Oregon. I'm just telling you right now, when you look at it, it's a lot to be said about all of this. Got to give respect where respect is due. But also, you got to give love to Ole Miss. With all that they've been through, with Lane Kiffin leaving, with Lane Kiffin allowing some coaches to coach some games and pulling coaches from other games and all of this other stuff. That's why his tweet didn't mean, or his tweet on X didn't mean a damn thing when he said that again. As far as I was concerned, I agree with my man Cam Newton, who basically said Lane Kiffin was trolling Ole Miss. You know, kids fought hard, whatever. Like, you know, a broken heart emoji and all of this stuff he was saying. Respectfully to Lane Kiffin, all right? And I don't disagree with his move in going to LSU, but shut the hell up. Nobody want to hear from you after that, especially not that kind of tweet, because you haven't come across like somebody who's really, really caring about the kids. I'm not accusing you of not caring about them. I'm saying you haven't come across as somebody where that comes across as that being your primary concern. Just stop it. Just stop it. Anybody trying to hear that? Not from Lane Kiffin. Not at this moment. Nobody's trying to hear that. But in the end, as we dissect this and we look at what transpires, there's a couple of key stats to point out here. First of all, Miami allowed the season-high 27 points to Ole Miss. Nobody's been able to score that many points on Miami this season until last night. Remember, Texas A&M and the reigning national champion Ohio State Buckeyes, Miami held them both to a combined 17 points to reach the college football playoffs. They had 12 sacks in their first two playoff games against Texas A&M and Ohio State. But they only sacked Trinidad Chambliss once in the Fiesta Bowl last night. Reuben Bain Jr., Hakeem Messidor, these brothers are monsters. They combined for 7.5 sacks and 9 tackles for a loss against Texas A&M and Ohio State. They had no sacks and no tackles last night against Ole Miss. No sacks, no tackles. Now, I will say this. I counted about 4 drops by Miami in terms of intercepting Chambliss. They had about 4 chances. 4 chances to intercept it, and they dropped 4 interceptions. 4. They can't do that against Indiana or Oregon and think they're going to win. You got to be opportunistic and take advantage of those moments. So let's get that out of the way right now. In terms of that Lane Kiffin saga and all of this stuff, I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's over. You know what? I've never had a problem with Lane Kiffin leaving LSU. But what I did have a problem with is how you going to let assistant coaches coach the Georgia game, but then you turn around and you didn't want some of them coaching against Miami in the college football playoffs. They even in or they out. If you let them coach against Texas A&M, you let them coach against, you know, I'm sorry, not Texas A&M, but if you're going to let them coach against Georgia, Why would you not let them coach for the duration? That's just messing with things. That's just messing with people. I don't like that at all. I think that was bad. Maybe he doesn't control it. Maybe LSU was pulling some strings. I don't know. But I just know that's a bad look. Plain and simple. And nobody wanted to hear from Lane Kiffin last night in terms of, love my players, broken heart, they work so hard, blah, blah, blah. Having said all of that, I do think this is important. Ole Miss, this team was Lane Kiffin's team. And if they had advanced to the national championship game, or dare I say won it, make no mistake about it, Lane Kiffin would have deserved most of the credit. He's the one that recruited the players, and he's the one that hired the coaches. And he's the one that won 74% of his games in building a program and being one of the top four teams in the nation winning percentage-wise over the previous 6 years. Lane Kiffin's team here. And if you really, really want, everybody want to act like Ole Miss has arrived. Ole Miss has arrived. No, they haven't. This specific team, they've done their thing. But unless you have sustained success spanning years, you can't say that. You can't act like Ole Miss has arrived. Well, who's to say Golden's going to have a successful year next year? Or the year after that? Or the year after that? If Ole Miss wants to be seen as a program that has arrived, you got to keep winning the way you won this year. You got to keep having two lost seasons or less. You got to make sure that you make the playoffs. That's the reality. You don't get to sit up there and act like you some program worthy of being compared to the Big Blue or to the Blue Blood programs just because you had one successful season. You got to do more than that. You got to do more. And if you ain't doing more than that, ain't going to cut it. Plain and simple. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Only three assistants, including offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr., were allowed to remain at Ole Miss for the duration of the college football playoffs. Everybody else that was coming to LSU with Lane Kiffin could coach against Georgia, but couldn't coach beyond that. That's such BS. It really is a bad look. But let me move on. Trinidad Chambliss is a baller. If he comes back next year and the NCAA finds a way to get the hell out the way and allow this brother to come back, make no mistake about it, we're going to be looking at Trinidad Chambliss and we're going to say, hey, Ole Miss is going to be special again. If not, if that's not the case and he's not allowed to come back, I don't know how the hell they're going to look, if I'm being totally honest. We'll wait and see. This kid Marion can play. Kid Lacy, I remember he had the hamstring pull after running for that 73-yard touchdown run. Could have been different. I mean, you talking about, then we get to Miami and we go back to Bane Jr. and Macedor. They had no sacks, no tackles, which I just mentioned a few minutes ago, behind the line of scrimmage. They did combine, however, for 5 total tackles against Ole Miss. So I'll give credit where credit is due in that regard. But I'm telling you right now, as you look at things, you know, it is what it is. When you look at them, I'm just telling you right now, it's one of those situations where you just got to deal with it. Ole Miss put forth a valiant effort, and it didn't work out. Plain and simple. Miami, I keep telling y'all, I think this is a great story. I really, really do. I think this is an absolutely fabulous story because when I think about Miami, their success, if they're successful, okay, let's be clear, if they're successful, it'll be the best story in college football. A national champion with their pedigree, with their history, with a Michael Irvin on the sideline. With a Ray Lewis on the sideline, with an Edgar and James on the sideline, with an Ed Reed on the sideline, reminding you nostalgically of what Miami once was, their glory days when they won 5 national championships between 1983 and 2001. Whether it was Schnellenberger or whether it was Jimmy Johnson, whether it was Dennis Erickson, whether it was Larry Coker, they go out there on their home turf in Miami, and they win this national championship. They win this national championship, okay? I'm telling you right now, it's going to be the best thing for college football. Why? Because all supremacy within college football doesn't reside in the Big Ten or the SEC. Now, the SEC, they've lost some of their luster. There's no doubt about that, because if you remember, over the last 2-3 years, Michigan won the national title 2 years ago. Ohio State won it last year. And now, Indiana, the number one ranked team in the nation, on the verge of, you know, winning the national championship. That'll be three teams, three different teams from the Big Ten, back to back to back, that have captured a championship. Plain and simple. Okay? That's the bottom line. When we think about that, that's the situation. Plain and simple. SEC ain't what it used to be. We saw that when Alabama got their ass kicked in the fashion that they got their ass kicked by Indiana. Georgia, you lose to Ole Miss. Thriller, but you still lost. Miami, associated with neither conference, associated with the ACC, which might not even exist within the next 5 years. Last time we heard anything about the ACC that was relevant, it was Notre Dame's athletic director complaining about the conference commissioner. Because the conference commissioner stood behind Miami and was more supportive of them than they were of Notre Dame, because Notre Dame was upset because they were associated with the ACC in 23 or 25 sports. But when it came to hockey or college football, no, Notre Dame wanted to stand on its own so they could keep all their money. And they didn't want to share that with the ACC conference. And then you're going to get mad that the ACC commissioner is supporting the team that's within the conference. By the way, I don't know if y'all noticed or not, but Miami, by winning last night, got like an additional $20 million for its program. Did you know that no other conference does that? Don't allow you to keep every penny of the college football money you generate for yourself. You got to spread the wealth, but Miami gets to keep that money, from what I read, from what the research shows me. That stands out to me. Plain and simple. That's what it is. But I'm just telling you right now. What it is, you can say whatever you want. Miami showed it deserves to be here and to have a national championship game on its own turf. I don't even want to think about how crazy Michael Irvin's going to be. Thinking about what's transpiring, how big this game is going to be, and what you're looking for. You can't let, the attitude is you can't let somebody come into your house and beat you. But Oregon and Indiana are both capable of beating Miami. Miami had a few players sick last night, that's what they said, but without the sickness. Oregon and Indiana have been perceived as being better than Miami all year long. So it's going to be real interesting to see. Number to call up is 888-MAGDOR6, that's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM. Mad Dog Sports Radio, that's one element to get into. The other one is tonight's game between Indiana and Oregon. Now, Indiana beat Oregon 30-20 during the season. All right? When you look about Dante Moore, deep passes has been, I mean, he's completed about 55% of his deep passes all season long for Oregon. So he's a tremendous deep threat, but was only able to do that one time against Indiana in their loss to Indiana earlier this season. It was a touchdown pass, but he only did it once, right? The other thing that we have to take into consideration is, are you going to be able, if you're Mendoza, with Oregon blitzing you, because they blitzed him about 41% of the time when they went against him last time, and it seemed to rattle him a little bit. He didn't seem to be as fluid as he was against everybody else in that particular game. Is that going to happen tonight? All of these things are things that we have to take into consideration. It is what it is. But I can't wait to see this game tonight. I think Indiana's going to win. I think Indiana's the better team. But in no way am I implying. I was listening to my man Adam Schein earlier today. He was like, Oregon can win this game now. It's going to be close. He has Indiana winning too, but he's got the game being close, being a thriller. EJ Manuel, college football analyst extraordinaire for ESPN, came on a show with us the other day. He's got Oregon winning the game. You got some people out there that's looking at Dan Lanning and Dante Moore and looking at that team and thinking, yo, they can beat them. And when you look at the talent in Oregon, you certainly know they can beat them. The flip side to it is that Cignetti is such an exceptional coach. I's are dotted and T's are crossed and are on a pristine level. And Indiana limits the amount of mistakes that it makes that you just find it hard-pressed to adopt the notion that they're going to lose a game of this magnitude. Then you got to also take into consideration, it's like, hey, you did see them go up against Penn State, and my man Gus Johnson for Fox Sports made the call of the year. Mendoza in trouble. It's a touchdown world. Omar Cooper, unbelievable. Give him the Heisman Trophy now. Call of the year. Call of the year. That's what it took for them to escape against Penn State just a couple of weeks after James Franklin was fired. I'm of the mindset it could come down to that tonight. We don't know. But we're going to find out. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Those are just a couple of items we're going to get into. Last night's game, plus tonight's game, plus the NFL playoffs coming up. Man, Ty Tao is coming on at the top of the hour to talk to us about some NFL playoff matchups this weekend, all of the playoff matchups this weekend. But up next, my man Dana White from the UFC. You got UFC 324, 325 coming up. Not only this week, you know, next week in Vegas, but also the following week in Australia as well. So Dana White in studio with yours truly coming up next. Don't go away. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Don't go away.